Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric Johansson, a teacher with LSAT Demon. With me is Nathan Fox, one of the co-founders of LSATdemon.com and the weekly podcast Thinking LSAT. We got an email from Gabriel, who just watched a past episode of the Demon Daily, which I think I titled somewhat snarkily, "Boost Your GPA with This One Trick." And it was about there was a listener who had written in to ask about ways to boost their GPA, and you suggested extending their stay in undergrad or taking classes on the side in a community college so that they could continue to rack up A's to increase their GPA.
Yeah, let me read the email from Gabriel. Mm-hmm. I just watched the undergraduate GPA hack video and was curious if you'd anticipate the review committees would see any red flags with taking a load of low-level classes at the end of your degree. In short, do admissions committees actually care about the content of the transcript, or does just the number at the end matter? Extra info. I'm especially concerned because I will be taking at least 5.5 years to complete my degree due to transferring universities, taking on fellowships in research, and GPA hacking. And I'm concerned about it looking like I stayed extra time just to manipulate my GPA. My transcript feels very rocky. I have multiple classes withdrawn over multiple semesters due to medical reasons and poor decision making. My first semester as a senior was all B's when I mostly get A's. I took many classes outside my major and minor. My LSAC UGPA is about a 3.66 right now, according to my calculations. But if I take the easy classes and get the grades I anticipate, it could go up to 3.80 at graduation. Thanks, Gabriel. I definitely have thoughts. How about you?
Yeah, the first thing I was going to say, Gabriel, is you seem concerned that it's going to take you at least 5.5 years to complete your degree. That is completely normal. I think we are now at a point, I could be wrong, I don't have the facts on hand to back me up, but I think we're at a point where the average undergraduate student does not complete their degree in 4 years.
Especially since you're applying, I mean, we've still got most of the people who are applying right now were in undergrad during COVID.
Yep.
So none of this is going to matter to them at all. Multiple classes withdrawn. I'm surprised the withdrawals even show up on your transcript, but they understand. I mean, they might ask you if there is a question about whether you explain what the withdrawals were or whatever. I definitely don't say it was poor decision making. That was good decision making because otherwise you could have gotten an F. You know, the poor decision making is when you register for a class, you know you're going to fail it, and you just say, ah, fuck it, I'm not even going to take the final, just give me my F.
Yeah.
The good decision-making is when you register for a class, you're doing poorly, and you figure out how to turn it into a W instead of an F or a D. So that, to me, looks like savvy decision-making.
Yeah, 100%. That's the responsible choice. And if anyone presses you on it, which they won't, but if they do, you just say, I decided I didn't want to take that class that semester.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't need all of the reasons. And I would hesitate to over explain anything. I would answer their questions, but I would answer the question in a way that is positive to you, and don't overshare. Don't make a bunch of excuses. Like, I don't really care that you had a first semester as a senior that was all B's when you mostly get A's. I mean, you're going to end up with a 3.8. Well, that's a fine GPA to be applying to law school with. And, you know, the last and probably most important thing that I would say here is that to the extent that they do care about the content of the transcript, and maybe they do, but they don't care as much as the GPA. And so, like, they're going to be comparing your hacked resume or your hacked transcript with a 3.8 to a non-hacked transcript with a 3.66. Well, I guarantee that there is a law school out there where 3.66 is below their 25th percentile and 3.8 is above their median. And so it's like, well, what are they going to take? Do they prefer the 3.8 or the 3.66? They definitely prefer the 3.8. Are they really then going to look at it so heavily that they're going to be like, well, yeah, but you know, Gabriel stayed for an extra semester or two and got a bunch of A's in easy classes. They don't give a shit. If anything, I would think that they're like, wow, that was smart of them.
Yeah.
Also, they don't realize that those classes didn't count toward your graduation requirements. They have no clue that they don't know that you could have graduated a semester earlier or two semesters earlier. They don't know or care. And I'll tell you who really gives no shit at all. The American Bar Association doesn't care at all because all they want is the number. And US News, when they rank law schools, they give no shits at all because all they're going to get is the number. So there's like strong, and whether this makes sense, whether this is a good system, that's a different discussion. This is the system that we have. And I would strongly encourage Gabriel. I think that this is like one of the smartest things I've ever heard from an emailer doing this. I think all it does is make you look savvy. And I wanted to say one other point, which is, you know, it's like, well, but, you know, I spent an extra 2 weeks to file this brief. I could have filed the brief today, but instead I waited two more weeks and filed a better version of the brief. Well, that's what lawyers do. So like, this is like, you're going to show up with better work product. Yeah. If you do this. One final thought. I've heard admissions people all the time say, we want you to explore various interests. We want you to, you know, you should be out there doing that. Like, don't focus so heavily on pre-law, but take all wild. We want diverse, well-rounded applicants. So absolutely go take at UC Davis. The easiest class was nutrition 10, nutrition 10. Everybody got an A except for me, but everybody got an A in nutrition 10 at UC Davis. And that would be fantastic. If you have not yet, if you're a UC Davis undergrad, and if it's still like it was, I'm sure it's not, but if it's still like it was back then, and you're in your final semester and you're like, well, but I have enough credits to graduate. Yeah. But if you could take that class and maybe another couple like cupcake classes and tack a semester of straight A's on at the end, another thing that it allows you to potentially point to is an increasing grade trend. Mm-hmm. They're not going to look into it so heavily to say, well, but you didn't need those classes for your degree. You didn't need those classes to graduate. No, I had these were my grades. I finished with, you know, the last two semesters, I had a straight 4.0. That's the student that they're getting, is the guy who got a 4.0 for the last two semesters or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Not the guy who got all B's a year ago or 2 years ago. So I think, Gabriel, you have my full blessing to go ahead and do this. I can't imagine why not.
The scenario in which this sort of thing would not make sense, in my mind, is if you're talking about if the potential increase was like from a 3.80 to a 3.82, and either way you're above all medians, and it would cost you an extra $20,000 to do it.
Yeah, right.
But that's not what we're talking about.
I don't think that's what we're talking about. No. Yeah, I mean, you can, right. I could see that. Another scenario in which it might not make sense is if you're at a 2.5 and it's going to get you to a 2.55. And sure, it's like, well, you're already like, you are going to have to get in as a splitter. You're going to be relying fully on your LSAT. Your grades already suck so hard that there's really no rehabilitating it. But on these numbers, that seems like a slam dunk. You should do it.
Yeah.
Unless, yeah, undergrad is expensive. And if you're going to pay a $40,000 tuition to do this, you might want to think about the cost benefit analysis. But mm-hmm. No, I like this plan, assuming you can do it cheaply.
Agreed.
Thanks, Gabriel.
Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.